This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Waiting on Mike Tannenbaum. Get his thoughts on everything football coming up in just a bit. So while we await that, we want to let you know that the Pinstripe Report is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And, of course, the Yankees will have representation at the All-Star Game, and mainly from the starting lineup where Aaron Judge is going to be a part of it. He is going to be in right field, and he's going to bat cleanup, so getting a chance to start. And Gerrit Cole, I think, will probably make an appearance as well in this All-Star Game after throwing over 120, I think it was exactly 127 pitches on Saturday. But he should be available to pitch in the game coming up tonight, which can be heard right here on 98.7 ESPN New York after Dan Grasso. And that'll be coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. And that's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. He's Mike Tannenbaum. He joins us here on the Michael K. Show. It's Don and Peter. How are you, sir?
Awesome. Great.
Everything good?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Having some fun. Talking a little football here in the summertime. Camps are going to be opening in about 2 weeks. And we were talking about the rankings for quarterbacks, both ESPN and Pro Football Focus. And they had Daniel Jones at 20 in the NFL. Is that ranking fair to you?
I think so. You know, the NFL ultimately, guys, is a show-me league. And he has a great opportunity this year. I expect him to play really well. But if we're just being candid up until now, you know, it's been mixed results, not a ton of opportunities. So I think 20th is about accurate. But I think what's more important, guys, is what it looks like moving forward.
And do you feel like he did a good enough job cutting down on the turnovers before he got injured to give you confidence that that's going to be less of a problem this upcoming season?
Yeah, and I think when you think about guys like Kadarius Toney and Galladay, hopefully a very healthy Saquon Barkley. I think there's a lot of really effective pieces around Daniel Jones where I don't think he has to win the game. I think he just has to play quarterback, distribute the ball. He's a really good athlete. You know, I got to know Jay Billis through the whole ESPN network, and, you know, he was talking about Daniel Jones before the draft, and obviously we got to take a big Duke discount, right, when you have one Duke person evaluating another. But in all seriousness, he just talked about what a great athlete Daniel Jones was. He could have played basketball at Division I. So I think there's a lot of good attributes. I think you're making a good point, Don. It's going to be about the turnovers. But given the improvement they have on the offensive side of the ball, I do expect them to play markedly better.
What are the biggest questions that we're looking to get answered during training camp with the Giants?
Well, I think like anything, Peter, right now, if we're being fair, you know, we're a million miles from what it used to be in terms of an off-season program, four preseason games, and getting a chance to develop meaningful continuity. And obviously, a lot of that's because of the collective bargaining agreement. Some of that's because of the pandemic. And, you know, you just wish you had more time, more reps. But when you look at the division, which, if I'm a Giant fan, what's super encouraging is, you know, there's not a lot of continuity. You know, Dak Prescott's coming off of a big injury. You know, Mike McCarthy's only been there a year. Obviously, Philly, Washington, you know, new coaches, new quarterbacks. So I don't think they're at a competitive disadvantage necessarily, but, you know, every rep's going to be meaningful, and every walkthrough, every rep, every preseason game that he plays in is going to be very meaningful.
And you mentioned all the improvements, but I guess the big question to me, Mike, is just the offensive line. Will it be better, or will it be a problem for Jones? And if it is a problem, does he have the athleticism to be able to fight through it?
Oh, he definitely does. There's no question about his athleticism. In fact, I think that's, you know, if we were evaluating him, I think that's one of his strengths for sure. And look, I think the offensive line, starting with, you know, Andrew Thomas at left tackle, should be much better than a year ago. And, you know, they put a lot of resources into it over the last couple of years. So hopefully continuity and experience will serve them well. But if they get, if Andrew Thomas plays like a top five pick, which, by the way, which is where I had him, he really reminded me of a DeBrickashaw Ferguson because of his length and athleticism. when you have a left tackle that could handle the other team's pass rusher one-on-one, that gives you a huge advantage for the other four linemen.
So I said earlier on the show that Rich Eisen is apparently picking Washington to be a legitimate contender this year. Can I, as a Washington fan, think of them as a legitimate contender? Are they even likely to win the NFC East?
I don't think so. I think it's Dallas. I think the problem with Washington is going to be, you know, the quarterback play. You know,
that's
Ryan
what I said.
Patrick has done a lot of, you know, he's done a lot of good things, but gosh, it's hard to put all your eggs in his basket. But
thank you.
You know, when you think about their front seven and the firepower they have, Peter up front, you know, they're going to be in every game, and if they don't turn the ball over, just because that the strength of their defense, I think they're going to be really good. But I just think if healthy, you know, what Dallas can do on offense is going to be really hard to defend. You know, I've had the privilege of being around so many good defensive coaches in my career, Coach Parcells, Belichick, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini, and to a man, you know, when they talk about when the opposing team has two number one receivers, which in my opinion Dallas has with CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, when you have somebody like Zeke Elliott, it's really hard to take away, you know, more than one weapon. And if Dak Prescott can stay healthy, I just think this is going to be a really hard offense to defend.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum here on the Michael Kay Show. We were just talking about the Jets, and another year goes by and another dilemma at safety, this time with Marcus May. How do you think that whole thing is going to play itself out?
Yeah, well, we'll know here. You know, there's a deadline coming up, guys, of July 15th, and we'll see. You know, there's a few deals that are still out there. He's one. You know, we'll see if something gets done. Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson. I just don't get the sense, talking to people around the league, guys, that there's going to be a lot that happens between now and July 15th, but we'll see.
And would you handle that? Is that another situation of really good player, but in a cap sport, even though they've got plenty of cap space, just knowing how much to allocate to a really good safety as opposed to the other positions where you want to be able to save and really use the big money for?
Yeah, I think it comes down to you know, what they can do in terms of sacks, creating turnovers, playing man-to-man. I know this is not the question you're asking, but clearly, like with Jamal Adams, he has some strengths in being a great ball disruptor, but he does struggle in man-to-man, and I thought Joe Douglas did a really good job of getting great value when they traded him. I think Marcus May is a really good player. I don't know if he's a great player, but there's really good value. You know, when you think about 65% of the time now in pro football, the opposing offenses are going to be three receivers or more. And when you do that, it's going to put pressure on guys that could cover, make plays in the deep part of the field. That's something Marcus May can do. Again, I'm not saying he's an elite player, but he should be part of the solution. And if I'm them, you know, he's a pick that you hit on. He's high character. He's a good player. He's young. You know, those are, to me, that checks enough boxes to try to get something done within reason.
Where do the Jets go for a backup?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, the obvious one to me would be Nick Foles. At some point, I would think Chicago's got to do something there with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields trying to battle it out for the start. I got to think at some point Foles becomes available. And to me, he checks as many boxes as anybody. You never know. There could be somebody else that becomes available unexpectedly. But to me, that would be very high on my list if I were them.
And could he be someone that would challenge for the starting job, or would you be fully committed, unless he falls on his face, that Zach Wilson's the starting quarterback for the Jets in 2021?
Yeah, I think at this point, look, you never say never. You know, going back a long time, you know, we signed Vinny Testaverde in late June. Glenn Foley started a couple of games. Testaverde came in, took us to the championship game. Obviously, that's very rare. I think at this point, just given the reps and how much Wilson's been around, I think that's the guy that you have to go with, unless something unforeseen happens with, you know, let's say it's Garoppolo or someone that really knows their system well. I just think you have to go with Wilson unless something really unforeseen happens.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Who do you see as the legit favorite? Like, are you of the school that because the Bucks won the whole thing, they're really the favorite, or is that kind of a one-time thing that you wouldn't expect again?
I think you got to say they're the favorite. And look, I think if Tom Brady was on, he would tell you this himself. He played well last year. He didn't play exceptional. I think the offense for them actually could be better, especially if O.J. Howard could stay healthy. I think defensively, they are elite. I think Green Bay is close to them. You know, that was a close game in the championship game, obviously with the big question mark about, you know, what happens with Aaron Rodgers. And I do think Dallas, even if they get their defense to the middle of the road guys, I think because their offense could be so explosive, I think they're going to be able to score with a team like Tampa. So, you know, to me in the NFC, those are the three teams. And then on the AFC, obviously it all starts with Kansas City. I think Buffalo will, again, be, you know, tough to contend with. And I'm a big believer in Tennessee as well, because I think they have a chance to be very explosive offensively.
All right, Mike, I know you got to go, but one last one. Aaron Rodgers, does he stay in Green Bay?
I think he's going to have to, Don, and here's why. I just don't think the Packers would trade him because, let's face it, if we were running the Packers, we don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. And if we're faced to do that, we should do that next March or April, because now we're going to use those draft choices for the 2022 draft. So let's work as much as we can between now and then on convincing him to stay. So it's been, you know, almost two decades since Carson Palmer said, you know what, I'm not playing. Didn't go back to Cincinnati, ultimately gets traded. So I think unless he sits out this year, if I'm Green Bay, I don't consider trading him until next March.
Mike, always a pleasure, man. Can't wait for football.
Yeah, same here. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, that's Mike Tannenbaum, always talking football with him, and it's always fun to do it. And, Peter, unless Rodgers is legitimately going to retire, what other leverage does he have? I think he's got to go back, play out the year, and then if you want to go, go. I just don't understand. As much as you may hate it there, and I can't imagine he hates it there, because it's a team that can compete and can contend. Threw 48 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions last year. That you're going to cut off your nose to spite your face for one more year in Green Bay and sit out and go be the host of Jeopardy? Or do you suck it up and play one more year in Green Bay and then walk?
I'll tell you what, it would be, to me, it would end up being one of the all-time surprises in sports if he didn't play.
I mean, all the momentum as we get closer to the season and camps are opening in a couple of weeks that he's going to still be in Green Bay.
Would there have been a more shocking holdout ever?
I just don't know what's accomplished there. Then just walk away and just say, all right, I'm done with football. But all you got to do is one more year. It's not like he's locked into some, you know, decade-long contract. He's not Deshaun Watson, aside from the stuff off the field, Peter, where he's stuck, you know, for 4 more years in a place he doesn't want to be.
Right.
It's non-competitive. I mean, they can compete for a Super Bowl this year, one more year, suck it up, and then walk. So I think he wanted to get traded, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense for Green Bay to do it. And his only leverage would be, okay, then I'm going to walk away and not play. And I think he's too good of a player that could have too good of a season to do that.
Well, and with too little time left.
Right. And you see what Brady's doing. You know he could probably play another 3-4 years at a competitive level. Why not do it for a team that every year is in a position to win? As much as you may hate it there and as much as you may not like management, one more year, go out and kill it again. Have the, you know, the lack of smarts and getting you weapons be the reason you don't win the championship, and then you walk away and nobody will hate you for it. To give up on football, I think that'd be a shame for everybody. He may be, have a unlikable face, but he's a heck of a great player to watch. I'd hate to see him sitting out. And listen, I'm not that big of a Jeopardy fan where I think that's a fair trade, if that's even the offer. Close it out with your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776, and then at 6 o'clock, ENN. With the great, and I mean great, Andrew Gunling on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.